I still believe, like Grandma, that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion still good enough for me today. I still believe, like Grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
When Grandma used to go to church, she believed what the preacher said, that the Savior who was crucified had truly risen from the dead. She never tried to spiritualize or call it just a fairy tale. She knew Jesus was the first fruit so that she could rise up as well. And when they talked about the Holy Bible, she never wondered which one they meant. They knew back then that the old King James was the one that the Lord had sent. No higher criticism for Grandma or wondering which part was true, 'cause she knew that criticizing was just something all sinners do.
Well, I still believe, like Grandma, that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion still good enough for me today. I still believe, like Grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
Back then they thought that shorts were short and no skirts above the knee. They called it indecent exposure instead of Christian liberty. The very least of Christians then, and even folks who never darkened the door, if they saw what you're wearing to get a tan, well, they'd faint right to the floor. And blue jeans then were working clothes just for men like Jim or Bob. Girls were trying to get their attention instead of trying to get their job. If they'd have seen a guy with pretty hair or an earring in his ear, they wouldn't have called it kinda cute, they would have called it kinda queer.
Well, I still believe, like Grandma, that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion still good enough for me today. I still believe, like Grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
Well, where was positive thinking then for deliverance from your guilt? For self-esteem, they had to deal with their sin where the sinners knelt. Now, don't you feel sorry for Grandma's friends who lacked our psychology and had to bring their problems to the mourner's bench and get down on their knees? Well, if we had more preachers now like the ones from Grandma's day, who preaches plain, say what they mean, and then mean just what they say, if they'd work and pray and just obey all the things that the Lord has said, then we'd have more folks getting born again, just like my grandma did.
Well, I still believe, like Grandma, that you gotta be born again. That only the blood of Jesus can wash away your sin. Her good old time religion is still good enough for me today. I still believe, like Grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way. I still believe, like Grandma did, I'm gonna stick to the old time way.
All right. Well, wasn't that a blessing? It's good to be here, and it's good to see all of you, and we sure appreciate the opportunity. And again, just to say thanks to Brother Coral. By the way, we have known each other a long time. Of course, he's quite a bit older than I am, and I remember hearing him preach, and I was just a little boy. But seriously, he's had the Lord has used him greatly in my life. I thank the Lord for him. He's been such a blessing to me, and you know, we hear so many folk that are getting away from the old-time religion. Dr. Dennis Coral stays by the stuff. Amen. He doesn't change, and I'm thankful for that. And you don't know how encouraging that is to me. And so, but we appreciate that and appreciate all he does in getting this meeting and these meetings put together. And again, it's an honor to get to be here. And then what an honor to get to stand and preach. And I love to preach. I feel like a mule at the Kentucky Derby, but with all you preachers that I respect so highly and love to hear you preach, you're those of you that are members here, what an honor you have to have Brother Angel as your pastor. My goodness, I love to hear him preach, and just tremendous preacher. And Brother Angel, thanks for letting us come and let us be here, and all the provisions. We sure appreciate all of it, and just a blessing. It's been an encouragement to me, and the Lord sure knows what we need when we need it. And it's good to see. I know I've got a lot of other friends, Brother Booth and Brother. Good to see Brother Buchanan, and just been a tremendous help. We are not very far from each other, about 30 minutes from each other there down South Louisiana. I'm pastor down at Fundamental Baptist Church. It, by the way, it's not Silver Spoon. It is Silver Tooth. I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth or a silver tooth in my mouth, either one. But that's my name anyhow. And but I appreciate Brother Green and the good singing. Thank you, Miss Kathy and the girls and the girls at St. Your great great granddaughters, brother Green. I'm just kidding. Amen. I'm just kidding. But all the singing, it's all been good and been a blessing, and so we appreciate it. I want to say, too, I sure appreciate Brother Jay Griggs, and we've had the privilege to start two churches out of ours. We've a couple of churches, folks called us and just gave us their buildings, nice buildings, and Brother Jay Griggs took one of those about 30, 40 minutes from us there. And so anyway, he wanted to come to the meeting, and I says, good, I got an idea. That idea was, I hate to fly, and so that idea was that he could drive me up here, and he did that. And I appreciate it very much, and I just want to say thank you publicly, Brother Jay, for driving us up here. And I especially want to thank the Lord for allowing me to live through that experience. Brother Coral, he had his iPad in one hand and his iPhone in another hand, and he had a book up on the dash, and trying to drive. I'm glad for those rumble strips on the road, you know, because he'd hit one of those and he'd get back over, boy, I tell you, it was quite an experience. But I will say thank you. One thing it's done is it's caused me to get prayed up, and so I haven't prayed so much in a long time, but I appreciate you, Brother Jay. Amen. And if you have your Bibles, if you would, 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And again, what an honor to be here this evening. And I trust that, Brother Thompson, thank you, man. One of my heroes. I met him at Brother Buchanan's before. Just thank God for you. Amen. I was thinking, you know, I'd like to be able to preach like that when I'm 92. And then I got to think, you know, I'd like to be able to preach like that when I'm 58. That's what I am now. What an honor. And if you have your Bibles there, we're going to start reading in verse number 8. 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, verse number 8. Probably a familiar passage to most of us this evening. And but if you would, as we read, if you're able, let's stand. We'll read all the way through the end of the chapter. Thank God I have a Bible, amen, an old-fashioned King James Bible. I didn't say version, I said Bible, amen, a 1611 Bible, amen. And by the way, if yours is like mine, it'll read like mine. And if you've got a real Bible, it will. And well, we need to get back that old-time religion. Amen. What a good theme. And I get wearied with this modern-day junk that's going on, and so many folks changing. And you know, if something ain't broke, ain't no need to try to fix it. Just stay with it. Amen. And, well, look, if you will, there. The Bible said we're troubled on every... You said, preacher, man, we came to church to hear about trouble. Well, you know the Apostle Paul is dealing with and sharing with the church at Corinth some things that he went through, and I believe trying to be an encouragement and a blessing and a help to that church. As we look here, he said, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For which we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We'll take our text verse from the last verse. And you know, it makes a difference where our focus is fixed and the things that we're looking at, because where we're looking is going to determine the direction that we're going. And we certainly need to keep our eyes upon, I like what Jeremiah said, to seek ye the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And if we get our eyes on what's going on around us and what the world's doing and even what many liberal churches are doing, we'll start going that direction. And so looking the right way is going to take you the right direction. Amen. If you would, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll hit just a few things and be done. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. And Lord, the service tonight is certainly not about it. A person or a performance or a preaching performance, Lord, but rather it's about, we believe tonight, the importance of a manifestation of the presence and the power of the God that we serve. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us this evening to be a help to your people. And I pray that, Lord, that this evening we'd all take something. Again, thank you for what we've already heard and the importance of just keeping on. And I pray as we continue, Lord, that through this meeting that you'll do the work in all of our hearts that needs to be done. And Lord, if you don't touch, if you don't deal with us, and Holy Spirit of God, if you don't help us tonight, we won't get it. But we sure need your help this evening, and I'd ask that you'll use this time. May it be well spent. In Jesus' name, amen. I know that probably most of us are... in many respects in our life, are looking at things that we can see. But I'm convinced that it's far more important that we look at things that we can't see. And I know that you're aware, again, verse number 18, Paul mentions, by the way, a lot of suffering and all the things that, many of the things that he has been through. And even in the midst of all of it, he makes it abundantly clear that the abundant grace of God might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. And what we see through the eyes of the flesh will fail us, and what we see with the eye of faith, we know, is forever. And putting things in perspective this evening, and, you know, the temporal compared to the eternal, or time compared to eternity. I like what the psalmist said in chapter 27, verse number 13. He said, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord. in the land of the living. He didn't say I'd fainted, but unless I believed to see. And so we understand the importance tonight is not in seeing to believe, but rather in believing to see. You understand that the Lord made it clear as well that we're to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in making a name for Rusty Silvertooth. I'm not interested in building some edifice to myself. You know what I'd like to do tonight? I wish this evening that we would understand the importance of looking at things that really are going to make a difference for eternity. Because truth is, I'll be off the scene and somebody said, you know, you go ahead and kill the messenger. It's not going to change the message. By the way, before he hits the ground, there'll be another messenger taking his place. But the message stays the same. Amen. Aren't you glad today that we have a God that is worth investing our lives and giving our all to Him? I remember the day, 35 years ago today, when the Lord saved me. Amen. I don't know about you, but I am thankful today that I do know, like the preacher said a while ago, that I'm on my way to heaven. Amen. And something happened to me 35 years ago that I can't explain it. Somebody said, it's kind of like the A&M Aggies motto, said, from the inside out, you can't explain it. Looking from the inside out, you can't explain it. But looking from the outside in, you can't understand it. And by the way, you need to get on the inside and you'll know what I'm talking about. Amen. If you're not saved tonight, boy, it's be a good day to get saved. Amen. And I don't know if you've ever considered it or not, but the truth is that there is only one way to heaven. Amen. And you understand that this evening the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. I know Brother Jay and Brother Coral was talking earlier about folks selling out. I don't know if you understand this or not, but I don't understand something this evening. When I got saved, I was bought with the price, amen? And I sold out, Brother Buchanan, lock, stock, and barrel, amen? You know what that means? I am not my own. I've been bought with a price. I ain't for sale, amen? I belong to Him. How am I going to sell something that don't belong to me anyhow? Whoa, would to God we'd get back at that old-fashioned, old-time religion, amen, and get back to using old-fashioned mourner's benches and understand that them hymns, by the way, that was good enough for Grandma and Grandpa to sing and make it a difference, and the Holy Ghost of God uses, He'll still use them today. You say, but times are a-changing. Yeah, but it's Jesus Christ. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is not going to change. And by the way, His ways are the same. And I'm glad again that I'm a part of something that I don't have to worry and wonder about whether I'm going to wake up tomorrow. And it's going to be fleeting or it's going to be going by. Hey, I'm glad that my life is invested in something. I've sold out to one, by the way, that is worthy of everything that I could give it. And He deserves every ounce of my strength, every moment of my time, every dime of my finances. He deserves it all. But, boy, I tell you, it's exciting when you get to serve the Lord for... Now, I've been, again, 35 years. And you see, I know where Jesus brought me from. You could see where He brought me from to where I am today. The songwriter put it well, didn't he? You know the reason why. I love Him so. You can take this old world, all His wealth and His pleasure. I don't need earth's fame. It's just my desire to live for Him. Amen. And I would to God, some other folk like the Apostle Paul, all the things he'd been through. He said, and by the way, I know that you know this, but the truth is that there is nothing more important than you and I can do than to invest in things that are eternal. Now, I don't know what you're looking at today. But I know some, I've pastored some folks that got to looking away from the eternal and looking to the temporal. And by the way, the devil is a liar. You young people, listen to me. The devil is a liar. He don't love you. He's not trying to help you. He wants to destroy you. He wants to keep you from enjoying that abundant grace of God that would redound to the glory of God and keep you from ever doing anything for God. And by the way, he don't care what he uses to do it either. Hey, you listen to me. You better be careful about where you're looking, because you might wind up going where you're looking. You ought to look where you want to go. You ever been looking sideways and walking another way? Ain't very long you're going to hit something. Ain't very long you're going to run into something that you wished you'd been watching. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to keep my focus fixed on the eternal, Brother Hall. Amen. Looking for the things of God. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. By the way, I know He despised the shame, but He endured the cross. Hey, you listen to me? I'm glad today. And by the way, lest ye being wearied in your minds faint. You will never make it. We'll never keep going if we don't get our eyes back on Him. Amen. You will not make it without the Lord's help. You will not make it if you don't get your eyes on Him. You young people, listen to me. The devil will do everything. He'll offer everything under the sun possible to get you. You know, I've been pastoring for 30 years now. In three different churches. And you say, why'd you leave those other churches? Well, health reasons. They got sick of me. But the Lord has showed me some things. And, brother, if we could keep our young people looking where they ought to look, keep their eyes, keep them occupied where they ought to be occupied. Don't you thank God for a church like this? You can get them involved in the things of God. And by the way, that's not just time spent. That's time invested in eternity. What a joy. What a privilege it is to get to work on a bus route. So, preacher, it's just tough. It's hard to reach folk today. It's always been hard to reach folk. You know why? Because in the verse number 4 of that same chapter we just read, there is a God of this world that has blinded the minds of those that, lest they should see and believe. Hey, you listen to me. The truth is the devil wants to do everything he can to keep them blind. But you know what, Brother Thompson? I figured out a long time ago. Greater is He that's in me than he that's... You know why the world stays blind? We blame it on God. No, it ain't God's fault. We blame it on the devil. It ain't the devil's fault. You know what the problem is? You know this. Do you understand? Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. The problem is the church has sat down. We've got off of our purpose. We've got away from that old-time religion and preaching the gospel and being a witness and trying to get folk and bring folk in to the Lord Jesus. Hey, you don't realize that Jesus is still the answer today. He's still the answer today. He is the only answer for the world's problems. Hey, church, listen to me. This nation cannot stand another generation of apathy and lukewarmness and a bunch of folk that don't give a rip about the things of God, just going through the motion. It's time we got back to old-fashioned repentance. Get back to an old-fashioned altar. Get our heart right with God and get back on the firing line. Well, give me that old-time religion. This is my kind of crowd. This is my kind of meeting where you can come and, boy, get your battery charged up and get thrilled about the things of God. Give us some folk like the house of, was it Stephan S., addicted themselves to the ministry. Well, we don't see much of that anymore, do we? You got to beg and prod and pull and pry and everything else. Just get folk to look in the right direction. Colossians chapter 3 said, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. If you're hid, I mean, if you're dead, brother, and your life is hid with Christ in God. Too many of us, it's not the case. Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He mentions all these things, all these sufferings, all the tribulations he's been through. I know you know this, but suffering is inevitable. You've heard it. But misery is optional. The reason a lot of Christians that are suffering are miserable because they're looking in the wrong place. Got their eyes fixed in the wrong spot. Well, in verse 15 he said, for all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. I am just a country preacher. I'm not what I'd call a polished speaker. But, you know, I happen to read over in chapter 1, 1 Corinthians, where he said that God chosen the foolish things, the weak. And I don't know what the Lord will ever do with me, if he'll ever do anything. But I want him to know ever how little there is of me that he's got it. I honestly, the Lord knows my heart tonight. I could care less if anybody ever knows my name. But I couldn't care more that everybody would know his name. It's not about who I am. It's all about who he is. What a wonderful Savior. That the abundant grace might redound. Aren't you glad for the good grace of God through all that we face and all the troubles that come our way? Are you looking to that grace today? Or are you looking to the doctors, the psychologist, and Dr. Phil? Now, how's that working for you, he might say. Caleb Thompson said in his book, Embrace of Grace, he said, because suffering is not totally understandable, grace is undefinable. The good grace of God. There's more than enough grace. He also said, You can either be consumed with your thorn or consumed with God's grace. If you're not consumed with God's grace, you got your eyes in the wrong place. You're looking at the wrong thing. His grace is sufficient, Paul said in chapter 12. He said, I knew a man above 14 years ago, said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, the Lord knows, such an one. Caught up into the third heaven. Said he saw things, heard things not utterable. He said, not lawful to utter. But he said that after that, and I think he was talking about himself, and I don't know exact occasion, it might have been when he stoned at Lystra, I don't know. But I do know this, that the Apostle Paul recognized something. He said, lest he be exalted above measure, God gave him a thorn in the flesh, a thorn in his side. A messenger of Satan to buffet him. Boy, but don't you thank God for the response that the Lord gives to the Apostle Paul He besought him thrice that he might remove the thorn. God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. That word abundant means plentiful. The abundant grace of God might redound to His glory. God's a good God. He's a gracious God. I'm glad for the grace that God used to save us. And I'm thankful, by the way, it doesn't stop there. But His grace is sufficient for us in service. It's more than enough grace for our suffering. By the way, Caleb also said that concerning the thorn in our flesh. But, you know, if we're not careful, we'll look at things that will distract from what the Lord is trying to teach us and show us. And he said there's nothing as debilitating as gracelessness. It's not that the grace is not provided, but too often we're not looking for it. God's grace is sufficient. God's not a liar. God's grace, by the way, is abundant, more than plenty. And I'm thankful that I don't know what grace I'll need tomorrow, but I know this, when tomorrow gets here, the grace will be there already. It'll be there waiting on me. Amen. Well, the abundant grace of God, more than enough for our sufferings, more than enough for, you know, if we would just understand that the Lord does not want us to be failures. He never intended for us. That's the reason He's provided everything that we need in order to be a success. He said this book of the law, not part out of your mouth. You meditate therein day and night. May observe, do according to all that's written. And then shall thou make thy way prosperous. Now that's not Joel Osteen prosperous. That's God prosperous. I like what I heard Lester Roloff say one time. He said, you know, the truth is that, and we're living in that day. He said most Christians can handle poverty a whole lot better than prosperity. We're living in a prosperous society. And by the way, folks are falling right and left. Amen. They're turning their back on the old-time religion. They're getting away from the things that God has promised to bless. Amen. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm glad again that I've been raised up in a church like this one where God not only saved me, but thank God He called me to preach, put me in the ministry, and you see, I know where Jesus brought me from. I happen to remember, and I'm not going to glorify my sinful past. I didn't get saved when I was 23. I was running with the wrong crowd. You see, all I got to do is look at where I was headed, where I was looking, where I was going, and know where I'd be today. 35 years ago, thank God for His good grace, and a husband and a daddy got saved in an old-fashioned mourner's bench. Got in an old-fashioned, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Baptist church. I ain't ashamed of it, amen? By the way, the preacher handed me a old-fashioned King James Bible. I've been holding on to it ever since. Why? Because truth is, it ain't broke, amen? It's still good. Hey, God knew what age you and I'd be living in. Hey, the truth is, let the rest of the world, let them get lukewarm. Let them go away from the things of God. We need a generation that'll rise up and say, blessed be the Lord. We're going to stay by the stuff. We're not going to give in. It is worth it. It is worth it. Amen. I can stand and testify of that today. You see, every one of those fellas that I was running around with before I got saved, one of them got saved. The rest of them didn't. The other three didn't. And one of them, by the way, he called me one night. A few years after I got saved, I tried to get him to come to a tent meeting in Kilgore. And he did, and he made a profession of faith. He said, Rusty, you remember when I said, yeah, I remember, Jimmy. He said, I came to that meeting. He said, I came to that tent meeting and just to get you out of my hair. You wouldn't leave me alone. I said, well, Jimmy, didn't you get saved? He said, no. He said, I did that too, just so you'd leave me alone. I said, well, Jimmy, I might leave you alone, and I might have left you alone, but God won't ever leave you alone. He just said, all I want to do is call and tell you, after my third wife and that many sets of kids, this young man scored in the top 10 on the ACT test, the college entrance exam, and now he can't string three words together in the same sentence because the drugs have so burned his mind. His kids are a mess. His life is a wreck. And he almost looks demonic. Quite a change from where and when we separated. Alan, as far as I know, is living on the streets, hooked on drugs. And same thing. James, a whoremonger. I don't know how many wives he's had. He said, preacher, are you being critical of those folks? No, because I've told every one of them. Listen, it doesn't matter where you are now, how far away from God you are right now. I'm telling you, if you'll just look. Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness. What they had to do was look. Look and live. And even so, Jesus said, must the Son of Man be lifted up? By the way, he said, nah, if I be lifted up, we'll draw all men unto me. Hey, I want you to understand something. He was lifted up, amen? And he is, by the way, still. Aren't you glad that God's a God of second chances? Amen. Boy, he gave me a second chance. Amen. I should have been saved a lot earlier. But the abundant grace of God came my way one more time. And by the way, don't you dare leave here tonight if you've not yet been saved, because there is a deadline out there somewhere. Don't you dare step over and send away that day of grace. And by the way, if you're here and saved and you're not right with God, you've backslid, you know whether you are or not. No preacher has to tell you. You know what you're... If you're just going through the motion, you're looking the wrong way. You're looking at filth on that internet. You're looking to the world to satisfy. You're looking to all the garbage and the junk that this world has to offer. I'm here to tell you today that God is a God. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Why did it have to? Because God told Jonah to go to Nineveh, and he went down to Joppa and got on a boat and went to Tarshish. And he went down from the presence of the Lord. You listen to me, young people. There is a price tag. There is a price tag. He paid the fare thereof. There is a price tag put on sin. It just happens to be that price tag on the rebellion against God is the wages of sin is death. You go ahead and look to the world. By the way, you may get what you want, but you will not want what you got. Would to God today that you'd turn around. The word of the Lord comes a second time. You'd look the other way. You'd look the right way. You'd look to God and say, you know what, it's time. It is time that we raised a generation of young people, and those of us that have been saved for years got on fire. We need a fire in the house of God. We need a fire once again about soul winning. We need a fire, by the way, that is stoked in the prayer closet. We need a fire again in the house of God. But isn't it a shame? Too often we come to church and folk didn't know any different. They'd come in and think it was a funeral. By the way, if I can't enjoy myself in the house of God, I'm just out of luck. I'm not talking about being irreverent. But, you know, this dignified stuff, for some reason, I really don't think it impresses God, do you? Somebody said dignified, just another word for petrified. I love the things of God, huh? You see, the Lord not because of me, because of that abundant grace. I looked and I said, you know, here's the eternal, here's the temporal. We look not at the things that are seen. You see, I'm looking at tonight what I can't see. Are you looking at what is tangible, what you can see? You remember something about Moses over in Hebrews chapter 11. He refused the riches of Pharaoh. He received the reproach. And he took his stand with God's people. You know why? Because he saw something that was invisible. He saw the Savior. All those things were tangible. All those things were visible that he could have had. But he chose rather. Boy, would to God we get some folk that make decisions. I know you know your decisions determine your destiny. But listen to me, your destiny is determined not just by making superficial decisions. But I believe that there ought to be a submission, a surrender to the will of God. Amen. And every decision that you make not just be something that will last till you get outside these doors. Just go ahead and throw up that flag of surrender to God first and say, God, I surrender all. Amen. And just make up your mind tonight. You know what? I'm going to serve God. And if it hair lifts every cat in Korea, don't give a rip. I'm going to be what God wants me to be. I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. God give us some young people that will say, you know what, I'm going to be different. Amen. I do this too often, don't get to preach the message. And we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I don't know where you're at, what you're looking at tonight. But it'd be a good time for us to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. The things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. The Lord has blessed me and blessed my family, not because of me. And if you think I'm bragging on Rusty Silvertooth, you'll have to answer for God, to God for that, because that's not the case. I want you to understand something. Just as there is a price tag put on sin, there's a premium put on living for eternal things. I prepared, went to college to be an oil and gas technologist. Worked in the oil field for several years. God redirected me. Went and told my boss, who's a multimillionaire, and he said, now, Rusty, he said, I appreciate what you want to do. He said, but there ain't no money in the ministry. I said, believe me, T.C., if I were doing it for the money, that's definitely not where I'd go. I said, but you see, God's put a call on my life, and I can't deny it. And there were many times that folks tried to thwart what the Lord wanted me to do. And I am the husband of a wife that loves the Lord. And I think she loves me. If she don't, she's got me fooled. And has been a wonderful pastor's wife all these years. The preacher was talking about that a while ago, and I'm so thankful for her. The Lord gave us 5 children. My oldest daughter is now married to our youth pastor. They have 5 children. We have 11 grandkids. And my oldest son is an assistant pastor in Carthage, Missouri, Crossroads Baptist Church, and bus director. My next oldest, or youngest son, actually, Caleb, he pastors down at Central Baptist Church, not Brother Buchanan's Central Baptist Church, but about an hour and a half south of us. And the Lord's really blessing him, using him. And they have 3 children. Then my daughter just under him, brother married a missionary to the Philippines. They're missionaries in the Philippines. They got 3 children. They're back home right now. Pray for his dad, which is one of my deacons. Open heart surgery and just not doing well at all. They had to come in on an emergency deal. But 3 children serving the Lord. Have led literally hundreds of people to Christ in the Philippines. And then we had a late daughter, 13 years between our 2 youngest. Leah is her name. Oh, she's a blessing. Loves the Lord, sings, plays the piano, violin, and in our church it's a fiddle. But anyway, loves the Lord. You know, I see the price tag on the temple. But I am so thankful today that a surrender led to a choice or decision that has led me to where I am now, but most importantly, to where I am headed. You see, all this, even through the sufferings, the trials, there have been many times I wanted to throw in the towel. By the way, especially in those times when, as pastors, we're going to give an account in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 17. You're to obey them that have the rule over you. They will give an account. We will give an account. They may do it with joy, not grief. Preacher, there's several that I have to. The account is one of grief. One of the finest young men I've ever met in my life, faithfully serving God, bus ministry, children's church, preacher, going to the mission field. Long story short, in 4 short months, he got his eyes on the temporal. He went from being, in my opinion, Brother Buchanan knows who I'm talking about, one of the most spiritual, godly young men. If he wasn't number one in the nation, he'd have been in the top 10. Spiritually speaking. Got his eyes off the Lord. Started looking at the temple. Now I visit him every quarter in the state penitentiary. He's serving 40 years for manslaughter. His beautiful wife that was 4 months pregnant. If you would have written this story and handed it to me beforehand, I'd have called you a liar. It'd never be, never happen. May I say, you do not know how far away from God you will go. There's never been one thing done. I'm talking about the worst of the worst that you and I are not capable of doing if we get our eyes off of where they need to be. And your life going the wrong direction. You see, you don't know how far you'll go. And may I say, it'll cost you more than you want to pay. I know that for sure. It always holds you longer than you want to stay. 40 years for manslaughter and feticide. Oh, as far as I know, he's got things right with God as much as is possible, and God's using him in the prison, but that wasn't what the Lord wanted for him. May I say, the devil does not love you, kids. He's a liar and the father of it. You see, every lie spawns from his lie. Yea, hath God surely said. Another young man, 16 years old. Last time he was in church. He'd gotten saved as a 12-year-old and surrendered to preach right after that. Got out of the will of God. Backslid. He come to one of our camp meetings, Brother Coral, and we had a tent meeting going on with Brother Brown. And he walked the aisle, and just pouring tears and repenting, getting things right with God. Well, it didn't last long. He got back out with the wrong crowd again. By the way, young folks, it matters who you run with. It makes a difference who you hang around. Back to old-fashioned separation. Come out from among them. You can't handle it. And in 3 short years after that, going away from the presence of the Lord, looking the wrong way. I got the call early one morning. Another account we'll have to give with grief. Not because he wasn't told right, but because he didn't take it. He didn't heed it. He didn't look right. Put a pistol under his chin. 19 years old. Pulled the trigger. One of the last things he told me that was, "Preacher, I'll be at church Sunday." Guess who didn't show up? He was got so far away from God. The devil lied to him. By the way, everybody ought to have to preach the funeral of a 19-year-old young man with his whole life ahead of him. And the devil lies to him and tells him life ain't worth living. By the way, the world will tell you, look my direction. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they're of the world. They're not of God. And the devil's going to use all those things to try to get your attention. I'm glad tonight to know that the God that we serve, His grace is sufficient. It's abundant. It's more than a plenty. And whatever your need is this evening, your greatest need be met at this altar. I'll close with this, but you remember in John chapter 6, the Lord Jesus looks at Peter, I believe in verse 67, somewhere around there. He said, "Will you go away also?" I like, you know, because of that hard saying, a lot of folk turning their back. They're looking the other way, going away from God. And many did. Isn't it amazing how Jesus thinned out the crowd? He has a way of doing that. He said, "Will ye go away also?" Peter said, "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. We believe and are sure that Thou art the Christ." He is the Son of the living God. The world does not have the answer. I don't know what your need is, but I know what the answer is. I don't know what you have need of this evening, but I know where your help is. What a wonderful Savior. I wonder this evening, have you thought about where you're looking? Isn't it amazing how easy it is for us? Paul, with all the sufferings, all the shipwreck, and everything that he'd been through, would deliver this message to this church at Corinth. Listen, guys. Keep your eyes on the prize. Don't quit. Don't faint. It's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you shall reap if you faint not. I wonder tonight, with our heads bowed for just a moment, I don't know, again, what your need is, and I don't know where to go from here, or where you need to, or what you need to do. But I know that you're aware this evening that serving the Lord really pays. Say, but it cost. No, because it always redounds to the glory of God. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 that I reckon that the sufferings of this present life are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that should be revealed in us. Don't quit. Don't give up. Preacher said it a while ago. Just keep on keeping on. Don't faint. There is sufficient grace. There is abundant grace. There's everything that you need. He's provided everything that we need to enjoy what Jesus said, abundant life in Him. He said, "I'm come that you might have life, have it more abundantly." That's not without problems, but that is with all the help that you need. I wonder this evening, we'll pray in just a moment, and then we'll have you to stand, and the invitation will be open, but maybe this evening, just fix your focus. You need to redirect where you're looking. Get your eyes back on the Lord. Have you let some things sidetrack you? Oh, we need more old-time religion. Father, bless this invitation time. We thank you, Lord, for preaching we've heard in the first service. But, Lord, I do pray that, Lord, you'll make us mindful again of what Brother Jack had preached on. But, Lord, also, most importantly, mindful of the work that you did in our heart through that, or through the song service. And, Lord, through even now what you've allowed us to share with the folks this evening, to deliver a message that I believe that, Lord, that is needful. And Lord, I pray that folks would use this old-fashioned altar. Lord, tonight that they'd do business with you. I'm not interested, Lord, in them pleasing the flesh, but we might please God. Enoch had a testimony that he did, and he walked with you. Help us, we pray, to take from that. And Lord, that we might, even in an altar, prayer closet, get our focus fixed back where it needs to be. Looking to the eternal, not the temporal. Bless this time. If there's one here that, Lord, does not know you as their Savior, I pray they'd come and get that settled tonight. Lord, you know what needs to be done now. We ask you to have your will and way in Jesus' name. So we stand to our feet, pianist plays. If you need to come this evening, you need someone to pray with you about something, a decision you need to make this evening, there's a price tag on sin that's way, way too high a price to pay.